Director Bryson to give our weekly COVID-19 briefing. On March 14th, 2020, I issued an executive order declaring a public health state of emergency in Georgia due to the impact of COVID-19. To continue our fight against this dangerous virus and allow for enhanced emergency response efforts, I have twice used my authority to renew the state of emergency. And today, after consultation with Lieutenant Governor Duncan and Speaker Ralston, I've decided to renew the state of emergency for a third time through 11:59 p.m. on July 12, 2020. This declaration, as you know, plays a critical, important role in our battle against coronavirus. It allows for enhanced partnerships between the private and public sectors for our healthcare infrastructure, procurement of supplies, and coordination across all levels of government. As we continue to take measured steps forward, the public health state of emergency provides flexibility for a cohesive response across government and within our communities across the state. Over the past few months, we have seen frontline workers, law enforcement, teachers, business owners, elected officials, community leaders, and hardworking Georgians from every corner of our state join together in this fight. Now, with enhanced testing capacity and encouraging data, we are seeing a slow, careful transition to a new normal. Already, several state agencies have begun to phase into limited in-person operations, and the legislature, as you know, is making plans to return to the state capitol to resume the legislative session. Across the Peach State, businesses are reopening their doors with robust safety precautions in place, and customers are slowly but surely returning. This progress is encouraging as we fight to stop the spread and revive our economy. But the status quo is never acceptable. We cannot rest on our laurels. From day one of this journey, we have used data, science, and the advice of healthcare professionals like Dr. Toomey to chart our path forward. Our next step, like the ones before, puts the health and well-being of the citizenry first. Today, I signed a new executive order to extend specific safety precautions, outline guidance for overnight summer camps and summer school, and outline important rules for reopening shuttered businesses. The shelter-in-place order for Georgians who are 65 and older or medically fragile will continue through June the 12th, 2020, with exceptions for necessary activities including work, medical appointments, grocery shopping, home health services, and related categories. I want to thank all of those who have followed this advice and for those who have helped the vulnerable loved ones navigate these difficult times that they have in their lives. In this executive order, we strongly encourage all Georgians and visitors to wear face coverings in public to help mitigate viral spread. And restrictions remain intact for nearly every Georgia business to keep employees and their customers safe. For several weeks now, gatherings of more than 10 people in a single location have been banned in Georgia unless there is 6 feet between each person. Given favorable data and relying on Dr. Toomey's advice, we feel comfortable incrementally increasing that number to 25. That means starting June the 1st, 2020, you can have gatherings of more than 25 people in a single location if you have at least 6 feet between each person. Small weddings, recreational sports, and similar events will be able to resume with a little more flexibility, but we are continuing to ask everyone to remain vigilant. Please continue to follow the public health advice as you engage in these activities. Wash your hands, keep your distance, wear a mask if possible, and let's continue to protect the medically fragile and the elderly. At this time, live performance venues will remain closed. I know that these closures are tough on business owners and their employees, but we will continue to watch the data to ensure the health and safety of our citizens. I will tell you that we are working closely with those business owners, associations, and stakeholders as we prepare for the future. Starting May the 31st, 2020, overnight summer camps are permitted in Georgia if they meet 33 specific criteria for reopening, in addition to the requirements for operating a non-critical infrastructure business. Starting June 1st, 2020, bars and nightclubs can decide to reopen if they comply with strict sanitation and social distancing rules, all crafted to reflect industry practices and mitigate health risk. To open their doors, bars and nightclubs must meet 39 mandatory measures to ensure patron well-being. And just to name a few of these, they include screening workers for illness, limiting the number of people in the building to 25 people or 35% of total occupancy, requiring the facility to be thoroughly and regularly sanitized, only serving drinks to seated patrons or those in designated areas, limiting party size to 6 people, and preventing patrons from congregating. To provide clarity for banquet facilities, private event facilities, and private reception venues, we are adding them to the same category as restaurants and dine-in services so that they have clear directives for operating. This change will help as these facilities reschedule important events for families, especially weddings, in the coming weeks. My executive order specifically addresses the return of amateur as well as professional sports. Starting June 1st, professional sports teams and organizations which engage in practices or other in-person operations must operate by the rules or guidelines of their respective sports league. In addition, all amateur sports that continue in-person operation must follow the guidelines for non-critical infrastructure organizations. Many school districts have reached out for guidance on holding summer school. I want to specifically thank Superintendent Woods and his team for helping us develop appropriate safeguards for educational leaders as they plan for their students' return. Starting next month, schools and districts can hold summer school for students if they comply with 11 mandatory criteria. That includes screening workers and students for illness to prevent viral spread, enhancing campus sanitation, encouraging regular hand washing and hygiene, and keeping students separated to minimize exposure. We know firsthand how important it is for some students to be able to return to campus for in-person instruction, and these measures will accomplish that goal without compromising safety. Operators of amusement park rides, traveling carnivals, water parks, circuses, and other temporary amusement rides shall not begin operation until June the 12th, 2020. To open at that time, they must comply with 33 mandatory requirements in addition to all the requirements for non-critical infrastructure businesses. We want to thank and say that we are grateful for the guidance that we have received from the stakeholders to develop these rules and prepare for future reopenings. As we have said for many weeks now, one of the most critical battlegrounds in our fight against this virus remains in our long-term care facilities, specifically nursing homes. Over the last several weeks, the Georgia National Guard has worked closely with public health officials and the Department of Community Health to test nursing home residents and staff. Right now, 48% of all COVID-19 deaths in Georgia are connected to long-term care facilities. The earlier we test, the earlier we can intervene and try to prevent severe outcomes. As of yesterday afternoon, we've tested 66% of nursing home residents and 36% of all staff. That is in addition to the nearly 2,000 infection control missions conducted with more than 900 facilities receiving two or more mission visits. This is a top priority for us as we continue to work around the clock to protect our most vulnerable, and we will continue to do everything in our power to keep these Georgians safe. Since we began the rapid increase of our testing capacity in mid-April, we continue to remind the public and those in the media, the more that we test, the more cases that we will see. That is especially true with our efforts to test high-risk populations like we've been doing in our nursing homes. The multiple public-private partnerships around testing that were created in a matter of weeks to fight this pandemic have exponentially increased our testing capacity. But the nature of COVID-19 testing and reporting can sometimes lead to delays in mass reporting of results. Dr. Toomey and her team at Public Health continue to work with our private sector partners to streamline these new processes and ensure our testing data is timely as well as accurate. Starting next week, Public Health will move to a daily 3 p.m. update on the COVID-19 website. This change will give them more time to coordinate with healthcare facilities and providers to verify information and check its accuracy before publication. We remain encouraged by the numbers that we are seeing in testing, hospitalizations, and a wide variety of other data points across the state. We are also encouraged by the new treatment being rolled out for patients in Georgia in partnership with the Trump administration. This week, the Department of Public Health would distribute over 18,000 vials of remdesivir to 85 hospitals across Georgia. This shipment will enable these facilities to treat roughly 1,670 patients. I greatly appreciate the President and the Vice President and the rest of the administration for their continued support with critical supplies like remdesivir as we continue to fight the invisible enemy together. Speaking of the Trump administration, we had a call this week with the Vice President and the nation's governors to discuss how states are moving to safely reopen their economies and get Americans working again. We also had a very productive call with Admiral Polevchek and GEMA Director Bryson to ensure Georgia continues to receive the critical supplies as we take measured steps forward in our reopening process. And just this afternoon, we received some fantastic news from the President. He will be extending full federal funding of the National Guard activities through mid-August. That authorization was set to expire next month. And as you know, the 3,000 men and women currently deployed in the Georgia National Guard have been absolutely vital to our fight against COVID-19. They have helped deliver millions of pounds of food to students and Georgians in need. And they've been the backbone of our testing program, as well as doing life-saving work in our nursing homes and long-term care facilities. And I want to thank the President for this. There was many governors across the country that were asking for this extension, and he has listened to them, and we are grateful. This is a huge help to our state's ongoing war against this invisible enemy. As I've said many times before, the level of access and responsiveness from the President, the Vice President, and the Trump administration, in my opinion, is unprecedented. And that has been a huge benefit to our state as we combat this virus. Before I turn it over for questions, I did want to mention a couple of other important items. First, we continue to lag behind, as I mentioned the other day, in our 2020 census count. The form only takes a few minutes to fill out, so I want to continue to encourage all Georgians to take the time and get it completed. This initiative literally shapes the future of our state, so we need as many Georgians taking part as possible, and we continue to have a long way to go to meet our goals. All you have to do is visit my2020census.gov, call the 1-844-330-2020 number, or mail back the paper form that you received in the mail. Also, many people have asked for guidance on attending in-person services at places of worship, especially in light of the President's call to action for governors to reopen churches and religious facilities. As you know, here in Georgia, we never close places of worship, but we encourage congregations to hold online or drive-in services to mitigate the risk of exposure. Now, many churches and religious institutions are beginning to reopen their doors for traditional services, and we ask that Georgians continue to heed the public health advice if they decide to attend in person. Please use social distancing, wash your hands, protect the elderly and the medically fragile, and continue to prioritize your health. I want to thank again all the faith leaders who time and time again have answered the call and held remote services as we battled the spread of the coronavirus. I know that was a tough decision, but your leadership has literally saved lives in our state. Finally, we are urging all Georgians not to hold off on important medical appointments. I cannot stress this enough, and I've said it all week long. Do not risk a bad health outcome by postponing a necessary checkup, screening, or procedure. Healthcare systems are literally having to furlough workers in the middle of a pandemic, which is really hard to imagine, but it's because of this decreased demand for traditional services. Please get these appointments on your calendar and help us get our healthcare providers back to work. Now we'd be glad to take questions, and again, I have Director Bryson, Dr. Toomey, and General Cardin here if you guys have something for him.
It's 421 at 95.5 WSB, and if you're just tuning in for Eric Erickson, this is live coverage from the state capitol of Governor Kemp with his latest coronavirus briefing, and a big one, for better or worse, major steps forward in lifting restrictions and closures. The 10-person gathering limit will now be a 25-person gathering limit. Bars and clubs will be allowed to open June the 1st, although live performance and concert venues will still have to remain closed. Summer school will be allowed. All this with strict restrictions, of course, but these steps are major openings being announced here this afternoon. Governor Kemp speaking from the state capitol. He's taking questions now.
You know, the bad news was they had a big backlog of cases. The good news is they're now caught up, and they dumped those all into the system over a two-day period. I think it was Saturday and either Monday or Tuesday. So we feel like that is the reason for the spike in the cases. I can assure you that Dr. Toomey and I and our whole teams continue to watch that data. I'd be glad to let her speak to that. But none of that is being caused by any one incident anywhere. We think it's just because those tests were all dumped at one time. Our numbers continue to look good. They looked even better today. Our hospital bed capacity continues to look good. I just got a text a little while ago from Piedmont. Their COVID patient number in their hospitals is up slightly. But they were telling me it was all due to nursing home patients that they're getting, so that continues to be where our battle is. I will say, I think the good thing about where we are right now with the testing that we're doing, with the contact tracing, and literally just the teams that we have in place, you can see really what great work everyone did in Hall County, and we continue to do. I know our Insurance and Fire Safety Commissioner General John King is going to be doing a town hall tonight with some of the members of the Latino media. He continues to do outreach to that community, which was where we saw the spike in cases. They have really gotten on top of that. The hospital is reporting that they feel like they have reached their peak. We have the mobile unit up. Thankfully, I don't think it's had to be used yet. Or sending patients to other folks, other places. If it was, it wasn't much. So we are moving to those places of concern very quickly. We're continuing to do that in some of our nursing homes and long-term care facilities. So nothing in the data that we're seeing right now alarms us. Obviously, I wouldn't have made these moves if Dr. Toomey was not comfortable with that. And I don't know, Dr. Toomey, do you have anything you'd like to add on testing or contact tracing or the numbers?
No, thank you. As I had mentioned, we are looking at hot spots and very aggressively go into those areas to ensure that we have followed up on anything that's of concern. And so that Ipsen increase clearly showed up in the data. We had some other high-risk facilities tested, particularly around the Macon area. We had some other high-risk workers, infrastructure workers that were tested, and that also showed up in the data. But that represents us identifying high-risk areas and going in quickly and following up. So I felt very comfortable at that point, particularly because the data trends have been staying very, very favorable, and we'll continue to follow this. Our contact tracing has progressed very, very rapidly and successfully, and we have on board, by Monday, we will have 800 contact tracers, so we will beat our goal of having 1,000 before the end of next month. We'll have 1,000 by mid-month or even earlier in June. But the one plea I have for you is please encourage people to cooperate with us. Contact tracing will not be successful if people we contact don't answer the phone or refuse to be part of this process. It's only will be successful if we can get people to cooperate, to identify others that they have been exposed to, and to try to stop the spread of the virus quickly. That's the intent of this. It's not to be intrusive or to violate civil liberties. Quite the contrary. It's to protect the public and stop the virus most effectively and quickly as we can. So I think a plea to the public now is an important message to get out. Thank you so much.
Governor Kemp, Archit Seshadri with Nexstar Media Group. The question about masks, I know that this is an ongoing, everyone is a little perhaps, should you not, who should be wearing the mask and when? Because there are some people that are like, it's optional, perhaps not. Can you clarify that on masks specifically?
Well, we don't have a mandate for anybody to wear a mask. I think that's part of the public health guidance. I'm glad to let Dr. Toomey speak to this. You know, wearing a mask helps prevent you or me from spreading the virus if we happen to have it, especially if we're asymptomatic and we don't know it. So if you're wearing a mask, you're protecting other people. Not everybody's doing that. We're asking them to do that. I feel like I've been asking them to do that in a reasonable way by, you know, doing it when it makes common sense. And Dr. Toomey and I have talked about this. You know, if you're going out for a run and you're moving and you can stay away from folks, you know, you don't necessarily have to wear a mask, although I did see someone running the other day with a mask on, which is fine. But if you're going to the grocery store, or if you're running in to pay for your gas or getting something at a convenience store or pharmacy, you know, it's a good idea to wear a mask. You know, if you're in those stores and you see somebody that doesn't have a mask on, you know, it's a good idea to socially distance yourselves. I mean, I think the good thing is even people, it seems to me, that aren't wearing masks, most of them understand social distancing and how important this is to continue this fight that we're in. And that's really our message. I mean, look, that's one of the hard things of all of this, now that we're in two battles, the battle to continue to defeat the virus, but the battle to reopen our economy, is to make sure that people know that we're still fighting both battles, not just the newest battle, and that we can't forget all these things that got us to where we are. And you know, somebody was asking me about college football games and what I thought about that and what I thought that would look like. And you know, nobody wants to go back to the old days of college football than I do. What it looks like, I don't know, but I do know this. It's like Dr. Fauci said the other day on our call with the governors and the vice president. If people will continue to follow the guidelines, we don't necessarily have to have a second wave. You know, we can keep mitigating where the risk is so low, it really allows us to continue to open things up even more than we have. That's what I'm asking people to do.
Thank you.
Governor, hi, Carolyn Ryan with CBS 46. You mentioned on June 1st that bars and restaurants would be able to reopen. Over the Memorial Day weekend, there were reports and some video also that's come out of some large gatherings and parties that took place in some bars and restaurants in the Edgewood area of Atlanta, large crowds in the streets. I'm wondering if you saw any of that video and what your reaction to that is, and also what consequences these establishments might face if they don't follow your guidelines.
Well, we've got some pretty strict guidelines in here, and we'll enforce them as we've been doing. Like I've mentioned this whole time, you know, I've directed Colonel Val, Lieutenant Colonel Wright, Commissioner Williams, and all the DNR Rangers and the rest of the state law enforcement team that we have out there that have been on the road helping with this, is look, we want people to comply. We want to be a government that helps people comply. We realize a lot of these things are not easy. Sometimes people may not understand them. For the most part, you know, in the high 90% of people, they have been trying to comply with the guidelines, and we've been giving them further guidance. For people that didn't realize that, we've been issuing them verbal warnings. But if we have large crowds that are out of control, we will take much stronger action than that. I have not seen that. I know I saw some of that around the country. But I also would say that in our orders, and in our orders that I signed earlier today, the locals have local law enforcement, has local control to help us on the enforcement side of things. I know that there are some mayors around the state that have been taking action over the weekend to make sure that people were in compliance. I would hope that they would all do that. We stand ready to support them, but we got to have somebody that calls us and complains about that. I don't know if that happened in that case or not, but I can assure you if they did, we would have responded to it, and we'll continue to do that, because we're not going to put up with somebody putting Georgians' health at jeopardy. What we will do is try to help people be in compliance to continue to further the spread, mitigate the risks, and get back to where we can continue to operate in this new normal that we're in.
Thank you.
Governor, I wanted to ask about the order allowing pro sports and amateur sports to start up again. You said that they will be able to start, I believe, June 1st, as long as they comply with their own organization's guidelines. You spoke briefly about you don't know what it's going to look like, but have you been working with these organizations, such as college football, such as the Falcons or Atlanta United, about what this might look like, about whether or not to allow fans back in the stands?
Yeah, we have been talking to kind of all of the above, most recently more of the pro sports teams that are in the process of reopening right now. Much of that's been covered with the Falcons, and what, you know, I know there's a lot of ongoing talks with Major League Baseball and negotiations with the players, and so I don't really know where all that is. What we're trying to do, working with those organizations here in Georgia, is give them the ability to start training to get ready. I mean, these are, you know, highly skilled athletes, especially for the pro sports teams. I mean, the ownership has hundreds of millions invested in these athletes. So we're very confident that they are going to protect them. I mean, it'd be the worst thing in the world for them to have somebody that they're paying a lot of money have a bad health outcome because of coronavirus, because they weren't getting good medical advice. So I feel very confident that the organizations have the proper public health people that are helping them, the proper medical folks that are helping them. Dr. Toomey and her team, we stand ready to work with all of these folks. We've been doing that with all kind of different industries, and we'll do that. But I'm very comfortable with organizations like MLS and the NFL, Major League Baseball, with them coming up with league rules. I mean, they are not going to put their players in jeopardy. And if they want to eventually get fans back in a stadium, and we're not really addressing the games here, this is talking about operations and potential, you know, practices with limited amounts of people. You know, they're going to also have to have guidelines that are comfortable for the public to want to go back to those settings. And we stand ready to help them do that when the time is right, obviously with the advice and guidance of our public health officials.
WSB News Time is 4:34. You're listening live to Governor Kemp. There is a lot here that he has announced over the last half hour, and we'll go back to the state capitol here just after a check of Triple Team traffic. Here is Doug Turnbull.
Travel advisory's been up close to an hour, Chris. 285 eastbound, the outer loop at Riverdale Road, exit 60, a crash in two right lanes there that jams things up back before I-85 at the College Park area. On the south 75 southbound ride between Ackworth and Kennesaw, right lane's taken out with a stalled truck. It's been there over an hour. It's about a 15-minute delay there. Highway 41, the best alternate. Triple Team Traffic, 95.5 WSB.
Breaking news from the WSB 24-hour news desk.
If you are just joining us, the governor's public health state of emergency has been extended into July now. The shelter in place for older Georgians and the medically fragile will be allowed to expire on June 12th as scheduled. Bars and nightclubs will be allowed to open on June 1st, that is Monday, but with a very strict and long set of restrictions. Concert venues will still remain closed. That's the very short version here of what we have heard from Governor Kemp over the last few minutes from the state capitol. He's answering now questions from reporters, and we'll return there live.
He's done an amazing job. He's kind of the lead there. We have support services for him. Captain T.K. King has been on the ground for us with the Georgia State Patrol, standing ready to support and help the sheriff if needed, but they have been talking to the organizers to make sure that they know they can be comfortable knowing that they're going to be able to have a peaceful protest, and we're going to help protect them to do that. But if there's outsiders that are coming in that maybe have a different idea of how they might want to protest and start turning to violence or other things, which, you know, these groups have not wanted to do, you know, that is a situation that we will deal with very swiftly. It is our intention for everyone to be able to express their First Amendment rights in a safe way, and we're going to continue to support and do that.
Thank you, Governor Kemp. This is actually a question for Dr. Toomey. Dr. Toomey, you mentioned in this press conference and past press conferences that you're kind of making a plea for Georgians who are being contacted through contact tracing to kind of comply and isolate. If you're having these obstacles now as the state continues to reopen and take steps, how do you, for lack of a better word, convince people that have been come in contact to isolate?
Oh, and that's a wonderful question, because I see you all as part of our team that's going to help educate the public about what this is and how it's going to work. I met today virtually with the Georgia Chamber. I had met previously with the Metro Atlanta Chamber to engage the business leaders to be part of this process as well. I have their commitment to continue with us as we move forward with contact tracing, both not only to educate their employees, but also to work with us proactively on testing and education, and as leaders in their community can help also promote the importance of continuing with us. We'll be having a very active communication campaign. I mentioned that we are developing a video that isn't quite ready yet, but will be shortly, that will be airing in both in Spanish as well as English, and so we will be able to try to reach as many people as possible to educate them about this process. But the business community reached out to me, I didn't reach out to them, is evidence of the fact that I think it is recognized how important this is, and that for Georgia's economy to succeed, we have to succeed in stopping this virus, and it's going to require that full court press with all of us working together. Thank you.
Last question for you, Governor. With regards to the RNC, just wondering if you've heard anything further on that and if you've gotten any positive feedback with regard to your pitch to have it held here in Georgia.
You know, I haven't really heard a whole lot about that. I know, you know, that kind of went quiet here the last 24 hours, but I know there's been a lot of other issues that folks have been focused on, so I'm not real sure where that stands. I think, you know, my comments were pretty clear. We'll see what happens on that. All right, thank you, everybody.